Species.
Unite.
Species.
Unite.
There was a law in the books even back in 1917 that required that every publicly funded elementary school needs to provide instruction in the humane treatment and protection of animals.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. This conversation is with Mina Alagappan. Mina runs an organization called Humane Education Advocates Reaching Teachers, otherwise known as HART. HART is a full-service humane education provider in New York City, Chicago, and Indianapolis. I met Mina because we, Species Unite, are doing a wolf education program, so I asked her for some help and for some resources. She was beyond generous with both, and in the process, I learned a lot about the work at HART. And what they're doing is changing thousands upon thousands of students' lives and should be required in every classroom in this country. Hi, Mina.
Hi, Beth.
Thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with you, because you've been doing HART for a long time, but you did a lot before you got there. What led you up to HART?
I started as a lawyer. I did go to law school thinking maybe I could use my law degree to help animals, but it was a really nebulous idea for me back in the 80s because animal law was not an established academic discipline then. I ended up working at a large Manhattan law firm for a few years, and during that time, I actually started working with an academic test preparation company, privately tutoring students on the weekends, and I just loved it. I enjoyed seeing students not just improve, but gain confidence and get excited about learning and feeling empowered, and I just knew that somehow education had to be part of my career too. But I ended up, I think everything suddenly shifted for me when I wandered into the New York City Bar Association and they had a conference, the Animal Law Committee had a conference on the evolving legal status of animals. And it was just amazing to me to see like this evolving field of animal law and just all the things that the attorneys on the committee were doing on a volunteer basis. So I joined the committee immediately and got involved in programs, public programs on humane education policy and dissection in the classroom, and just got really interested in the subject matter. So within months, I left a job I loved and I enrolled in a master's program in animals and public policy. And honestly, in my own personal journey, I felt a little cheated that I didn't learn about a lot of animal welfare issues until I was an adult, because I felt like I could have made different choices and lived more compassionately. I think that's why humane education for me really resonates on a personal level. I feel like we owe it to our youth to teach them about these issues.
When my life really changed in terms of animals, I always liked animals as a kid, but, and I've talked about this before, I was 13, and they were dissecting pig fetuses in biology. I walked in and I walked out. I didn't do it and I just left. And that's the day I stopped eating meat. I didn't know any vegetarians. I didn't know any vegans at the time, right? And it was a long time ago. I would think, because I had that moment, and so I've always been kind of aware of school and like, back then, especially, you learned nothing about animals, about just living like a kinder life in general with people, any of it. That I, in my head, like you would, I just thought we'd have come so far as an education system in this. But the fact that this, none of this is really ingrained in our education system, like that we need you, right? And so I want to talk about, first, tell me what HART is.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about why our education system needs HART. When you came onto HART, what was it?
when I joined in 2005, it was dormant at the time, actually. We then turned it into a full-service humane education organization. So we train teachers still, but we also have our own instructors that go into schools and teach programs for K-12 students in school, after school, and in summer camps. We develop educational resources, and we advocate for better enforcement of the humane education laws. Humane education fosters empathy and compassion, and it develops critical thinking and problem-solving skills. It empowers students to make more informed decisions and to take compassionate actions that benefit people, animals, and the planet. And when we look at the world today and just the overwhelming problems confronting our world, you know, from climate change to war to institutionalized animal cruelty, I mean, humane education can make a huge impact.
I agree why we need it.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, why don't we have it? Like, why do we need HART to come in and bring this to all these kids and these schools and these teachers? Why does our education system still have such a big hole around something that you would think is such a basic need?
There are a few reasons for that. One is a lack of awareness of what humane education is and, you know, why there's a critical need for it. But there was a law in the books even back in 1917 that required that every publicly funded elementary school needs to provide instruction in the humane treatment and protection of animals. It got amended later to include more.
This was on the books in 1917.
Yeah.
That is incredible. But no one was doing it. Is that the case?
I can't say that no one was doing it. I mean, I don't know, right?
No, I know. It's 1917.
But it isn't well recognized, this mandate. I mean, I have been doing this work now for almost 17 years, and I could count the number of administrators who were aware of the law. So I think a lack of awareness is one issue. And even when they are aware and they recognize the need, I think there is an issue with needing to train teachers in how to infuse, blend humane education into their curriculum. Because teachers have so much on their plates. There are so many educational mandates. What we really need is not to have humane education be a standalone subject in school, but to be integrated into math, social studies, English, all the subjects. I mean, it lends itself to that. And I think also another issue could be that, you know, schooling goals, even when they overlap with humane education, goals like critical thinking, global competence, empathy, they're not easily measurable. And sometimes these kinds of goals are compromised by accountability policies. So schools tend to focus more on things that can be assessed through testing. And that tends to dominate more as opposed to, you know, really promoting teaching things that aren't as measurable. So I think that there are a number of reasons.
Sure. And do you think more. Part of it is just we demand so much from teachers?
Absolutely. When I was working and advocating with the city council for better enforcement of the humane education law, we had drafted a resolution that, you know, would call on the Department of Ed to help improve compliance, you know, with this mandate. And it was all going smoothly. But then at the very end, when they had the hearing, they said that the only way this could pass is if we put in all the other educational mandates, too. So then there's this laundry list of like 25 mandates, you know. They have a lot on their plates.
Yeah.
They do.
Although if this is like incorporated into their classrooms, it seems as though it makes teaching other things probably easier.
Certainly, it's like social emotional learning, right? I mean, that's a lot of what humane education is, aligned so well with those competencies. I think that, you know, the other thing is teachers find that when they bring animals, the topic of animals, into a lesson, it's engaging for the students. It motivates them. I mean, children have a natural affinity for animals.
Yeah.
So it's a real motivator, and they recognize that.
Even though there's a huge animal component to this, it's not just animals.
We approach humane education in a comprehensive way. So it includes content related to not just animal protection, but environmental ethics and social justice. And it explores the interconnections between these three areas. So that's, and we have students really think about the root causes of issues. So we could be teaching them about sweatshops and puppy mills, and they're then recognizing, oh, the root cause here is greed. Vulnerable beings are being exploited for money. So, you know, we have them thinking more systems wide, you know,
right.
Just really, what are the root causes of issues and how can you address these?
Which is how we should be addressing them as a whole anyway. And I think so many of us who never had any of this kind of education, you come into it from, you know, you go the reverse way and then you get to the root cause as opposed to starting with the root cause, which is so much more powerful. And I think it also gives you so, as an individual, so much more where you feel like there's something you can do, right?
I mean, these can be paralyzing problems, right? To teach kids about factory farming, climate change. But it's always in the context of what can you do to make a difference? So students devise a list of action items. And we emphasize the importance of individual action. I mean, that really matters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could learn about garbage found in the stomachs of beached whales. And then they're going to want to go do litter cleanups to protect marine life. I mean, this is the kind of, you know, mentality here. It's not like, let's just get upset about this,
right.
But, you know, what can we do about it?
The kids in your realm in general, when they start doing this sort of education and are taught to think about empathy and to think about other, it's got to affect all other.
There are studies, actually, not ones that we've conducted, but there are studies that show that cultivating empathy to animals also extends to empathy to people. So, you know, it's logical.
We, Species Unite, we are using some of your resources for our Woof Conservation in Schools program.
We're I'm doing, so happy
we're
to hear
very
that.
Excited about them. Are a lot of people coming and using your materials? Because you offer this huge library of free materials.
If you can go to teachheart.org/library, you can basically register for a free library and get access to like over 300 lessons and activities.
Your lessons go from like K through 12.
Yeah.
And they're very specific. It's an incredible way that you hit on really specific issues and their issues without making them seem like, but it still makes them seem like something you want to learn about versus something that a lot of adults would kind of want to push aside.
For example, we have a guide we developed on exploring the lives of farm animals. And that's really about helping students understand the natural behaviors, needs, and emotions of farm animals. And it's through things like role play and storytelling. And so that's like a big part of our lessons. I mean, the power of story is amazing in humane education. It is what allows students to really imagine what it would be like to be another species or another gender, whatever, you know, another race. It opens up so many ways to empathize when you exercise a narrative imagination. So,
right.
You know, through guided imagery, all kinds of things like that, we use those types of strategies in the lessons. We have lessons about heroes, like what is a hero? And, you know, ways for kids to find their inner hero. So it's not just about the famous people, but also what is a hero? And everyone has an inner hero. And How do you bring that out? So it's a range of lesson topics.
Yeah.
So we'll have lessons on farm animals, wildlife, companion animals, child laborers, climate change.
Kind of everything bad that humans are doing.
But also in the context of, you know, what can you do to make a difference? So
right.
That's what's positive about it. The students never leave like these lessons feeling dejected. It's always like, okay, there's this problem, but really thinking like, what can I do about it?
I would think that we would want our kids to grow up more empathic. Because on every level, it's a positive.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that the goals of schooling basically need to be the goals of humane education.
Right.
I think that needs to be more the approach as opposed to thinking, okay, testing, assessment, you know.
It's tough work that you're doing. Like, that's what I, like, because you're in there with people who definitely obviously want their kids to know this stuff, but may not want to have to, you know, do any extra work. And so it's a lot. I mean, it's hard.
But it's inspiring. Yeah. I mean, when we see what the kids do, that's always like, if I ever feel down, going into a classroom and seeing the kids, that's always like a right. way to lift me up because yeah. they're amazing. I mean, right. kids just get it. They really do. And yeah, I mean, I think they sometimes get it better than adults do. Because things just resonate with them. When they learn about these complex issues, sometimes I feel like it's not, the issue isn't really with them understanding it as much as really believing that there could be this much injustice in the world. Right. You know? And so they're really motivated by that. And they really want to make a difference. I remember there was an after school club many years ago. Remember the BP oil spill in the Gulf mm-hmm. Coast? The kids had seen... it was like this animal protection club, heart club. And they had seen these images on television of these animals really suffering from the oil spill. And they came in really dejected, but really wanted to do something about it.
Right.
So they started researching and found that hair helps absorb oil. So what they started doing was calling local hair salons and pet groomers and collecting discarded fur and hair. And they found this organization called Matter of Trust, which basically collects hair to clean up oil spills. And they donated these bags of hair.
That's amazing, so though.
They were so upset, but then they felt like they could take part in helping.
You also get the message as a kid, or at least back in the day, that, oh, no, that's okay. This is how it's done. You know, sorry, it's kind of horrible, but that's how it is. It's clearly not how it has to be. We know that. And to let these kids know it's not how it has to be.
Right. And this was student-led.
Right.
So that's what's even more, that's more inspiring because it's like, not like we're telling them, hey, you can do this, this, and this. We don't really go in doing that. We don't tell them what's right or wrong.
Right.
We're really just giving them the information, teaching them about pressing issues affecting people, animals, and the planet, and really getting them to think about how they could make a difference.
Yeah.
What we really try to do is promote critical thinking and have them really evaluate situations and question and reach their own conclusions.
And do you ever see like long-term effects on the or impacts on these kids?
Just last week, one former climate camper from like years ago, I think she was in climate camp in Indianapolis about 10 years ago. She contacted our manager in Indiana and said that she's now the executive director of an environmental organization that's dedicated to protecting freshwater ecosystems. And I'm like, that's amazing.
That is what I meant. Yeah, that is awesome. And I bet you there's a lot of that.
And another one, and for our 20th anniversary, she reached out and said that, you know, HART really helped her when she was in third grade. She was in this Caring Kids program we were doing with Animal Haven in downtown Manhattan. And she said that really affected her. It really helped her with her leadership skills as an activist. She's now studying neuroscience and psychology, and she's committed to, you know, doing things with children and education. And so it's nice when we do have the opportunity to hear from them. I mean, humane education needs to be part of every child's education. And we focus mainly on public schools. We've generally worked in under-resourced areas with public schools. We don't charge them for our services. And that's been, you know, the audience we've been really trying to reach.
More schools, more teachers.
Yeah, more students.
I love it. Yeah. Mina, thank you.
Thank you so much.
For your work.
Thank you.
To learn more about Mina and to learn more about HART, go to our website, speciesunite.com. We will have links to everything. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare moment and could do us a favor, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you'd like to support Species Unite, we would greatly appreciate it. Go to our website, speciesunite.com, and click donate. I would like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knudsen, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, and Anna Kallner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.